it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's blind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is Ball Don't Lie. We are back after a two-week hiatus. And the reason we didn't give you, unless you're like, you know, kind of slow, there was really only one series going on. it was the Heat, and it was the Celtics going on this time last week. So we were like, we're not going to do a podcast and just talk about one series that we all thought was going to end probably the day of recording. But obviously it stretched on a little longer than usual. And then also it was game 4. It was game four. It was usually recorded on Mondays. It was the day that the Lakers got swept by the Nuggets, which we did not get to talk about. And we will talk about later on in this episode. But it's your guy, Scott Dante here, man. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network at BarbershareNet. And visit thebcnet.com. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Got a lot of stuff on there this week. Summer sessions we back this week because J.R. Bang and Pavi are back in the country. Both of them had some trips outside the U.S. So we'll be talking about that on the pod.
Ball of shit. You feel
some
me?
Ball something of light. Shit. Yeah. Crazy. Something like nothing crazy to hear about Pav's Toronto tales for his birthday. But we'll get into that. We also going to be, me and Dante, actually, after we get done recording this, we're going to be recording Cinema with the Guys, breaking down Succession, man. And I can't wait to get in that because that show was just, it ended flawlessly to me. So we're going to talk about that. A lot of stuff on the Patreon. Got an announcement. So the NBA Finals kicks off Thursday, which means our NBA Finals post-game shows will be back. So this is technically the last, pre-recorded podcast. We're not going to do a podcast after the live show. We're just going to be talking about each game. And then we actually have an announcement next Friday. So pay attention to watch the game 4 post-game show. There'll be a major announcement next Friday after the game 4 between the Nuggets and the Heat about the future of Ball Don't Lie. Very exciting news. Stay tuned for that one, man. But Dante, how you feeling out there in the A, man? I think you had big series that the Braves been playing some good ball.
Yeah, so it's been real solid, bro. They had a 7-game homestand, 8-game homestand. Well, it was longer than that, but they played the Dodgers, they played the Phillies. You know, they played some really good baseball. Got to saw a lot of good players coming into town, come in and out. Shout out to Rob Parker. He came through for one of the games. You know, we kicked in the press box for a minute. So, you know, that was cool. Actually, got to meet Tim Kurkjian. Okay. That was random as hell, but he was at the game because, you know, ESPN was covering 2 of the games. So it's been solid in Atlanta. You know, the weather's finally changing. It's 80 degrees every day. Can't complain about that.
The weather's changing everywhere but Los Angeles. It feels like fucking London out here, which is bullshit. I'm gonna read y'all the highs of the next 10 days. This is all cloudy, by the way. This is not a fucking piece of sun in sight right now. 67, 65, 67, 70, 71, 71, 68, 66, 68, 69. This is for the next 10 days. This is bullshit. I don't pay this high-ass rent to be dealing with this shit. I go on niggas, Chicago, niggas is on boats and shit, and it's ridiculous.
Niggas are definitely on boats at the crib. They are definitely on boats.
Niggas is on boats at the crib, but big announcement next week. So check into that, man. But let's get into it, man. A lot of things are going on since the last 2 weeks we talked. Last episode, we were actually previewing the conference finals. I don't think either series kind of went how we thought it was going to go. I think we both, did you pick the Lakers? I think you picked the Lakers, right? I think you picked the Lakers.
I want to say I picked the Lakers in 6.
I think you picked the Lakers in 6.
I have my LeBron agenda going. You know,
yeah,
I
that try. Agenda's dead. It's dead and gone. It's in the wind like it's fake retirement.
What was it? But shout out to bro for the master PR class. We're not going to talk about me. We're not about to talk about me getting swept, nigga. I might leave y'all. You saw he dropped the whole "What More Can I Say" quote on Instagram. Where he was like, I'm supposed to be number one on everybody's list. We see what happens when I no longer exist.
Let it
linger, bro. Because he don't want it. Don't talk about me getting swept, bro. It's year 20. We're going to keep it positive.
this drama queen. Please look at me. Look at me. But I had Denver. I had it in six games. I did not think they was going to get ass beat like the way they got beat. I picked Boston in seven, so I wasn't shocked that it went to seven, but I was shocked the way it went to seven.
Right.
A lot of things have happened there, but let's start with what happened recently, because I kind of feel like the Nugget shit is kind of like old news at this point, so we'll get into that in a minute. But the Miami Heat, man, nobody, if you listen to any of our podcasts, if you tweet with us, and you said you had the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals at the beginning of this playoffs, you're a fucking liar. You are a fucking liar. Even me and all my Jimmy Butler agenda did not see this shit coming.
Yeah, the only person that had Heat Nuggets in the finals was Israel Gutierrez, you know, and he's a Heat beat writer, so naturally, okay, we'll give him a pass for that. But you're right. Nobody expected this. Nobody saw it coming. And, I mean, normally it would already be one big thing if we just had, you know, an 8 seed making it to the finals. But with the way the play-in is set up now, and all the extra hoops they have to jump through in order to get to the playoffs, you know, it's put that much more of an emphasis on it. So everybody is really hyped about it, and rightfully so. Because, like, you know, like you said, nobody expected this.
I mean, this team lost their first play-in game to the Atlanta Hawks. They were down by, like, 5 points to the Bulls with a couple minutes left in the second play-in game. And now they're here in the NBA Finals. And an improbable run beat the number one seed in the entire NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks beat them in 5 games. Yeah, we know Giannis missed the first three, but that don't really matter. Them niggas went out like some suckers. So I really don't care that he missed that game. What did they do when the 2 games this nigga played? They lost them shits too. Like the one game they won, Giannis didn't fucking play. You know, you beat them, then you go to New York, beat a tough Knicks team in 6 games. And then you come into this Eastern Conference Finals against a team that it's actually like we talk about rivalries. There's not a lot of them in today's NBA because of so much player movement. And it's really not going to be any, especially when this new CBA, you know, goes to effect, because a lot of these, it's going to be really hard, for teams to keep their players. Now, I really feel like we're stepping into the 1970s again, where this was the most parity the NBA has had this season, maybe in a super long time. And I feel like it's going to be like that a lot, to the point where if you repeat, you're going to be looked at as a dynasty damn near. That's how much parity I think we're going to have coming. But, you know, you have them, you know, going up against a team that they've played in the Eastern Conference Finals now the third time out of the last 4 seasons. And the way they lost last year was Jimmy Butler missing the game winner, which would have sent them to the NBA Finals against Golden State. And now they're back at it again. They took a 3-0 lead, almost blew a 3-0 lead, but then won in dominating fashion by 20 points last night in game 7. Just what's your thoughts on, you know, just this series and like just everything the Heat have been through in this playoff run?
It's a spectacular run. I just think they're going to get, we'll get into it, but I think they're going to get demolished in the finals. But it shows you, you know, that Heat culture that we always talk about, and people always say, man, that shit not real. It's clearly real. Like, you saw how TNT beat into our head every broadcast, all of the undrafted players that they had, you know, making the impact on the court throughout the entire finals. So, you know, getting a guy like Jimmy Butler who can get his teammates to rally around him, a coach like Spo, who, like we've said, Filipino Jackson, one of the greatest to ever do it, been in the 6 NBA finals. I know people try to discredit him because of Bron. And I want to give a big shout out to Pat Riley. Because a lot of people forget.
The Godfather.
A lot of people forget. Bron wanted to fire Spo. And Pat Riley said, nah, this is my show. That's not how we do things here. We're not going to do that. And, you know, you see the results. This team, year after year, no matter the roster, you know, they contend. And, you know, here they are back in the finals. Like I said, I don't think they're going to win. But you got to tip your cap to them. Shout out to Spo. Because, once again, he's did a masterful job.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's we talk about culture in sports, and I think it's an overused word, but it's true at the same damn time, because it's like, you know, it's kind of like, remember what Jerry Cross said, like doing the Bulls run, which really pissed Michael Jordan off. And I understand why it pissed Jordan off, because Jerry Cross was saying in a way to slight Mike and the players, but front offices really do win championships. And if you look at culture starts everything. Look at the San Antonio Spurs. That was culture. You know, they had that coach there of Greg Popovich being the coach and in the front office, the culture being set with Tim Duncan. And then it started with Tim Duncan and David Robinson. David Robinson retired. And then Duncan brought on Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. And then with the big three, once those guys started, you know, they brought in a Kawhi Leonard. And we're seeing even like the third generation of it. I mean, actually the fourth generation now with them getting ready to draft Victor Wembanyama. He's going into a good situation. Probably his best situation he can go for any bad team. But you see with the Miami Heat, ever since Pat Riley has taken over this organization, like in when did he lead? Like when did he lead the Knicks? Like 1995 or some shit like that? I think
some point in the 90s.
Yeah, some point in the mid-90s. And they've just been elite, especially since they drafted Dwayne Wade in 2003. This is their seventh NBA Finals appearance. And I think you just got to give love to the way that they do things there. It is Pat Riley's ship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and, you know,
Mickey Arison.
Mickey Arison, great ownership. And just the way that they have these great relationships. Like you see some of the old players coming there. And I always feel like that's a sign of culture, something that the Bulls don't have. But that's always a sign of culture. We see the older players come to these games. And, you know, him saying that, okay, you know, after the LeBron Big Three era ended, and, you know, I felt like he thought he was going to have a second run, but with Wade and Bosh, but of course Bosh got hurt. I mean, with that sickness he had, which basically made him retire. And now he's going to like, yo, I want Jimmy Butler. Give me Jimmy Butler, and we're going to build around Jimmy Butler and kind of build it in this team. But you also got to look at where he took Spo. Like, Spo was in the fucking video room. And now he's top five in playoff wins. He is trying to win his third NBA championship. Yeah. Third NBA championship. So I just think you just got to give it to the whole organization front to back. And this team believes in themselves. I know they're the eighth seed. I get that AFC, but this is not your regular AFC. Like, this is a team that was literally a shot away from being in the finals last year. And this is good.
And we talk about, you know, Bosh getting hurt. Oladipo was supposed to be Jimmy Butler's running mate.
Yep.
And, you know, we've seen Oladipo get hurt several times. So you got to, you know, tip your cap. The reason I said I shouted out the owner is because him giving Pat the go-ahead to, you know, pretty much do what you got to do to stay competitive. Whether it be drafting players, whether it be trading for players, whether it be signing free agents, Miami's a team that's always in the running for, you know, the best of the best. So, you know, like you said, you got to really shout out to that organization top to bottom.
Yep. Definitely got to do that, man. Let's go on to I didn't have this on. Well, it's actually kind of on the run. It's kind of a mix right here. But Jimmy Butler. Y'all know how I feel about Jimmy Butler. Day one Jimmy Butler fan since he had that shitty ass haircut listening to Taylor Swift in 2011. I said, now this is not nothing that we've been having this debate, not even a debate. Niggas been yelling at me in Bulls Twitter for almost a decade about Jimmy Butler. And I remember when the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler in June of 2017. I remember I left work early, and there was a draft watch party in Long Beach. Me and Pavy went because this was the draft of Lonzo Ball. So it was a whole bunch of Lakers and ESPN LA had a draft party. Everybody's getting ready for Lonzo Ball. And that's when the news came in. Jimmy Butler was traded. Of course, he ended up getting Larry Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine. Now, I feel like Zach LaVine is kind of just who Zach LaVine is. I don't think, you know, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's great. Larry Markkanen got better and better, and now he's an all-star, and Chris Dunn is bagging groceries at Ralph's. So if you look at everything they've done and how the Bulls' trajectory has gone since Jimmy Butler has left, do you think it was a mistake that the Bulls – with the Bulls trading Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I mean, all the Bulls do is make mistakes. Let me be honest. getting Michael Jordan was a mistake. You know, he failed a three. Getting Derrick Rose was a mistake. We had, 1.7% chance? That was pure bullshit. That's pretty much the makeup of this franchise. So, of course it was a mistake. Even though I can say with all confidence in the world, they would have found a way to fuck it up. They wouldn't have built the right team around them. They would have, you know, done something to sabotage the man. So, as much as I do think it was a mistake to trade Jimmy, and I think that's obvious. At the same time, the way the Bulls are ran, they would have found a way to mess that up.
I think it's a classic case of two things can be right at the same time. The Bulls definitely fucked up by trading Jimmy Butler, but like you just said, the Bulls would have fucked up having Jimmy Butler the same way they fucked up having Derrick Rose. And I think the thing with Derrick Rose, yes, we know about the injuries, but I want Bulls fans to remember this one thing. Before the injuries, after losing, after having your best season you've had since Michael Jordan left the building, 62-20 record. That was such a fun season. Derrick Rose, youngest MVP of all time. These guys had the number one seed in the NBA, not just the East, the NBA. Beat Indiana in the first round. Nice competitive series against the Hawks in the second round. And then just got beat up by the Heat, mainly because Derrick was out there by himself. I still get flashbacks from game four of that fucking series where they went to overtime. I don't know if you remember that game. Overtime. And all we saw was Derrick going 105 and Chris Bosh taking Carlos Boozer to hell and back. After you losing to the Heatles, what does John Paxson do the next offseason to help Derrick Rose? This nigga signs the shooting guard formerly known as Richard Hamilton. Rip Hamilton was not Detroit Rip at this time. He was older. So he was getting hurt. Like, and remember, Jamal Crawford was available too. And I don't think Jamal Crawford would have been like, quote unquote, a difference maker, but it would have been a lot fucking better than fucking Rip Hamilton.
Yeah, and but so you got to remember, D-Rose asked for Rip Hamilton.
D-Rose asked for Rip Hamilton?
D-Rose requested, like, you know, all his non-recruiting, I don't recruit shit. He's Rip Hamilton is one of the people he told him to go get. So I don't get him too much flack about that one because bro asked for Rip.
I was not aware of
that. And just being honest, G, that injury changed everything because I still believe they could have beat Miami that year.
Yeah, like I do too. Miami almost lost that year.
Yeah,
Miami almost lost to the old ass Celtics, remember?
Yeah, that changed everything, G. So, but yeah, no, to your point, that they did them no favors.
Yeah, I just feel like it's something where, you know, obviously coach, like we just talked about, helps a lot, and they have way better, more of a better place to build a winner in Miami than they do in Chicago. But you can't that like, the way the franchise is going since they traded Jimmy Butler in 2017 is like god awful. Like it's bad. Like this is honestly to me, it's worse than the Baby Bulls era because at least the Baby Bulls better. Them niggas were just flat out trash. Like you coming off the dynasty, you rebuilding. This is just bad.
I mean, we're stuck in basketball purgatory. Let's call it spade a spade. You where you don't want to be mediocre. Because I mean, you get the same mediocre draft picks, or you don't have draft picks because you traded them trying to stay relevant. But you don't have a team that's a championship contender. And, you know, now with the whispers that they don't think Lonzo will ever play again, which we've been saying since last year, it's unfortunate. So unless you can get a point guard in here to run this team that you've built that needs a point guard.
And you don't want AK and Mark Eversley say, wow, we almost beat the Eastern Conference champions, because that is classic Reinsdorf way. Classic Reinsdorf way. We almost beat the East Coast champions. Let's run it back. But we're not here to talk about a team that lost a month ago. But let's move on to the Western Conference champions, man. The Denver Nuggets last Monday, feels like five fucking years ago now, they completed a sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron had a great last game, 40 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, whatever the hell he had. And he played damn near basically the whole fucking game. Before we get into the actual narrative about Nikola Jokic, what do you think went wrong for the Lakers in this series, especially you picked them to come out and win the whole damn thing? What do you think went wrong in this series? Especially because I kind of feel like AD and LeBron didn't play, quote-unquote, bad.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, their role players weren't as good as the role players for the Nuggets. And when it comes down to those games, you know, we talk about how, you know, we always say, oh, man, you know, a series don't start till the home team lose. It's like coming into that game three, they gave it their best shot out the gate and then just quickly, you know, I think they were up 15 and then Denver came back and they were just took the lead. Oh, just overtook them and it was just over with from there. And so I think more than anything, this is one of those situations where people have been so stuck on downplaying Joker, downplaying Denver. This is just a really good basketball team. Jamal Murray has shown you flashes of the old Murray. You know, I was joking with you when I was talking about the light-skinned delegation. Got to make some adjustments.
I'm glad you brought that up because now I'm here to say it. Yes, we will be accepting Jamal Curry into the light-skinned society, okay? I have talked shit about this man countless times over the last couple years. I admit, I was wrong. You shut me the fuck up. I thought it was just some bubble bullshit. You have beat the bubble allegations. and it is time to welcome you into the family. And it's also time for a certain member to get the fuck out. We sending Jason Tatum on. We putting Jason Tatum on waivers. We put him on waivers. I talked to Steph. I talked to Drake. I talked to Chris Brown. We have all decided. Jason Tatum got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he's
meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned.
Yeah, but no, the Nuggets are just a true number one seed with the guy who I think should have been MVP. But it's about time that they, you know, get the respect that they have deserved all season. You know, this team is legit, and they showed you that. The Lakers were the number one defensive team coming into it, and they were the number one offensive team, and they, you know, picked the Lakers apart. Every adjustment Ham tried to make, it didn't matter. You know, they and I know I was one of the people saying, man, you know, the Nuggets ain't gonna shoot like this in game two, and they didn't shoot as well. They, some of the circus shots they were hitting, but at the same time, they still executed their offense when they needed to.
There was a lot of funny conversation about that series. And like I said 5 years ago, I don't even know what podcast I said it on or if it was a tweet, but 5 years ago when Mr. James came to Los Angeles, I said the marriage between Laker fans and LeBron sexuals would be the worst relationship in history of sports. Like, and it was. It has been. And to see them fail, like to see, just have them have this season, starting 2-10, you know, a 3% chance making the playoffs, and then they make it to the, they win the play-in game after being down in the play-in game 15 points, you know, they knock off the Grizzlies in the first round, knock off the Warriors in the second round. Now, like, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. We go to the finals. The Nuggets don't do shit, and then just a fail so epically. They just got the ass whooped. It just got, and like, it is, there's no excuse to make. They just got their ass beat. And I knew, there's always a point in every series where you just know who the better team is. We all knew in game three, like a quarter into game three, with the way that the Nuggets came out, that is the better team. But even in game four, I was like, okay, we'll give them this one. LeBron's not going to go. They're not going to allow him. He's not allowed to get swept on his home court. And to be fair, LeBron didn't go. Like, he had a great game. Like, he played well, but he's older. As you saw in the second half, he ran out of energy. And you, what is Jeff Van Gundy kept saying? Why is he going to play? The nigga's old. He's tired. Like, he used all his energy in the first half. So they had like a 15-point lead at halftime in game four. That lead got sliced down to like four in like a minute. And I was like, okay, yes. They're done. This is just the better fucking team. And what we saw, and we come to Nikola Jokic here, which is this topic. Stop the bullshit. Like, all the bullshit narrative around Jokic. Watch basketball, man. Like, we really had a debate. And what I mean by we, I mean the media in general, not us on this platform, because we talk about what the fuck we watching. Well, he only won MVP because he's white. If he wins three, it's an abomination to the league. Da 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 da. Look what Joel Embiid is doing. Yeah, I saw Joel Embiid hoe out in the second round against the fucking Boston Celtics, one of the most unserious teams in the NBA. If Joel Embiid was the MVP he needed to be in game six, there wouldn't have been a game seven, and they went on to the Eastern Conference Finals. What do we see in game three and game four from Nikola Jokic? Okay, I'm not having the best game. I'm in foul trouble. I'm finna go in here. We finna run this two-man game, me and Jamal, because they can't stop it, and I'm gonna dominate. I'm gonna get us this W. That's what MVPs do, man. That's what MVPs do, and he is four wins away from everybody having to shut the fuck up forever.
Yeah, I think Joker, man, like you said, is one of the best players in the league, if not the best player at this point. Like you said, it's time to just call a spade a spade. And the production is there because, you know, as much as we talk about individual play, it's still a team game. And so he's able to get the most out of his teammates. And if we see this year, you know, he leads this team to a championship, you know, essentially, especially if, you know, he did it in the conference finals. If he averages a triple-double in the finals from the center spot, you feel me?
That's crazy.
That's some legendary shit. And like when you see a lot of the posts that are coming up and he's being compared to Wilt Chamberlain, you feel me, and things like that. So it's like, no, like it's time for people to stop. And it's sad with basketball because you got a lot of people who are saying like, oh, well, this finals is going to be trash and X, Y, and Z. And like people are more so focused on narratives as opposed to just watching basketball. And it's like, we got to really cut that shit out because this is going to be a good series. It's going to be a lot of good basketball, a lot of good X's and O's. Like I said, Spo is going to try to find a way to neutralize Joker. How they do that, I don't know. I think Bam is going to be in hell for four games. But I think more than anything, like you said, it's just time to just be honest about it and say this is an elite basketball player and what he does is special. We should really just appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail. The discourse, I know I've talked about this countless times. You've talked about countless times. The discourse on this app, on Twitter, during NBA is terrible. Like, we have had, I think it's been documented. I think both of us talked about this all season. This is probably one of the worst NBA regular seasons I've ever seen in my damn life. I'm talking about even up to the fucking All-Star game was god-awful. But these playoffs have been very entertaining. And now you have, you know, remember when they had, when we had the Warriors and the Cavaliers in the finals for like 5 years in a row? And they were like, I'm tired of seeing LeBron and stuff. Okay, now you got a new matchup here. You got an exciting matchup here. You know, two teams who deserve to be here. And you up here talking about ratings like you fucking Bob Iger. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, the amount of people who watch the NBA will be watching. Now, am I going to be naive and say, oh, well, is it going to be one of the highest rated finals of all time? Of course not. It's probably going to be what some of the Spurs finals is rated.
But also, people got to be realistic with the whole ratings thing because people don't watch. People stream everything.
Yeah,
and half of my legal stream. You saw Mark Cuban hop on in like the police last game. And
Officer Cuban.
Yeah. How many people Mark are watching Cuban this on the stream? I would just like to. I'm just curious. Like, no, because they know they're losing money off the streams because people don't have time to pay for all this shit. So, like, you can't really look at ratings.
It's too many of them. But, this is going to be a great, fun series, man. I'm looking forward to it. This is the first series. The first NBA Finals, nigga, in 20 years, maybe since Spurs Nets, where I didn't give a shit who won. I do not care who wins, like, at all. But let's just talk about the series, man. Heat, Nuggets, before we make our picks and things, because it's kind of the X's and O's, man. It's kind of like you just said, you feel like they're going to get washed. I don't think this is going to be – this is not the best matchup for the Miami Heat. That's all what basketball is about. It's about matchups. I do think, even though these motherfuckers are a dumbass team, the Celtics would have been a better matchup for the Nuggets than the Miami Heat would. But it's also, we've been saying this about the Miami Heat every fucking round this year. So at this point, I can't even say what they can't do. I have literally, legitimately picked against them in every round this series. And I am a Jimmy Butler truther. I have not picked these niggas once. And they have defied logic. And remember how you talked about with the Nuggets? Oh, the Nuggets aren't going to shoot that way. I was saying the same shit about the Heat. But they shooting that way. Gabe Vincent's been great. Caleb Martin, who should have honestly been the East Conference Finals MVP. But for my agenda, I don't care. I won. But it doesn't matter to me. History will not remember Caleb Martin's performance 5 years ago. We always remember when Jimmy Butler won MVP. That's all that matters to me. But you've been seeing just how they play. This team believes in themselves. And I feel like this is going to be a great coaching matchup too. Michael Malone is a great coach. Spo, one of the greatest coaches of all time. I'm really looking forward to seeing the chess moves between the two. And I do think this is probably the best shooting team. And we talking about 3-point shooting that the Nuggets have faced this year. But to me the key is Jamal Murray. The only shot the Miami Heat have to me is they can somehow slow Jamal Murray down. If they can do that, they can give themselves a shot to make it longer. But at the end of the day, it's just going to be too much Jokic, and I think there's going to be too much for Bam Adebayo to overcome, especially the bullshit he pulled over the last couple games against Boston.
Yeah, we're going to have to really get an Eric Spoelstra masterclass in this one in order for the Heat to have a chance. I mean, like I said, love Jimmy, love everything he's done. We know he's going to show up to play. It's funny, Malik and them fell for the rumor about Tyler Hero. I think he's definitely not coming back.
But, yeah.
They fell for that. Shout out to Real Journalism. But
shout out to Real Journalism.
but no, I think it's gonna be tough for the Heat to pull this one off. So we could say five to be polite, but no, I definitely think the Nuggets gonna come in to take care of business. I think Michael Malone has had his team on point. They've really ran with the us versus them mentality. Even though they
both teams,
but I mean they are a one seed. But at the same time, I get what he's saying from the standpoint of every series they've played, the narrative has been, what is the other team doing wrong, or why did they do this and X, Y, and Z. So I get it, and they've been successful with it. But I think Joker is going to come out, and I think, you know, that's one person who loved the 7 days off. We talk about rhythm and all of that. That's a big dude. So, like, him getting 7 days off, I'm sure he was excited.
Off his feet.
Yeah. Man, chilling, getting treatment. So he's gonna come out fresh and ready to go.
Yeah, I think, of course, you know, we all know the little small storyline everybody talk about. Of course, you know, it wasn't this season, it was last season where the two teams got into it. I don't really think that matters that much. You know, people got to start acting like the Jokic brothers or the Sopranos. But, you know, I don't think it matters too much. But to me, it's – if we're doing our prediction, like, I wouldn't – you're taking them officially in five, Nuggets in five? Where you going?
Yeah, I'll go Nuggets in five.
I'm going to go Nuggets in five, too. I would not shock you if this is a sweep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Would not shock me. And this is sweet.
An ugly sweep, too.
I don't know if they're just going to beat their ass. But again, I don't know. Like, there's too many, bro, there's so many questions here.
Put it like this. The Miami Heat are losing game one by 15 points.
But this is what I want to say about game one. The Miami Heat have to win game one. They have to take advantage of the rust. If they don't win game one, they might not win this game in this series. Like, they might win game three. You know what I'm saying? They might pull a Minnesota Timberwolves thing, but I say like this. If the Denver Nuggets play the way they've been playing the first three rounds, this will be a sweep. Because even if you get generational Jimmy and Bam plays very well, at most a six-game series. That's if those two happen, and Caleb Martin, all these motherfuckers hitting their shots. And that's also – there's so many factors that lead that have to happen for this just to be a competitive series, in my opinion. Because I just feel like the Nuggets are just – that much better than the Miami Heat.
Yeah, no, I agree, bro. I mean, the Heat, not the Heat, the Nuggets, their road to the finals, you know. I know we talked about the play-in and how successful it's been, but they're going to be the seventh seed, and then they're going to be the eighth seed. So, yeah. You know, the play-in give it, then they take it away because, you know, there were teams that were quote-unquote better that probably would have been better matchups for Denver, but they're not going to play them.
But that's also why the play-in is not going anywhere. The play-in, if you thought – I didn't think the play-in was going anywhere before this. But after this shit
– oh, yeah, it's a
wrap. Two play-in teams being in the conference finals, one making the finals, that shit is never going anywhere. And I think even for, like, bigger – even for, like, let's just say you're the Lakers or whatever, you can sit your players like, oh, fuck it, we should go to play-in. We'll still be good. Like, I really feel like the opinion, not just from fans, but from the players and the teams of the play-in changed differently. Like, oh, we can get in with the play-in if we have to. We keep sitting guys. I think that's going to be a thing, man. But we're both going Nuggets and five. I just hope these games are close. Like, even if Nuggets win all four, just give me competitive games. But I really don't know. I really don't know how this is going to pan out.
They'll be entertaining.
That's what I mean. Like, at least, what I mean by, yeah, entertaining to the point where, okay, it's at least under 10 points in the fourth quarter. You know, like, at least give me a fake idea this is going to go down to the wire. But I really just think this is going to be a mismatch of epic proportions. I just think there's going to be too much Jokic, too much Jamal Murray. I don't know if the Miami Heat are going to be able to overcome that, man. But that's all we got on the finals. Of course, like you said, we're going to have our post-game shows. We'll be doing it per each game starting this Thursday. And that will be on the Barber's Chair YouTube. It will be on the Barber's Chair Twitter and things like that. So look forward to that. We got a couple other things, you know, going on. Lead, we'll comment before we get up out of here. Let's talk about the Boston Celtics. Where do the Celtics go from here? Because they're in an interesting situation. This is like year, when did Tatum get drafted? 2017. This is like year six or seven in this run between these two with mm-hmm. him and Jaylen Brown. They've been to four Eastern Conference Finals. They've been to NBA Finals, lost last year, of course, losing this time. Big decision for them. Jaylen Brown has one more year on his contract. He is eligible for a Supermax, which will be 5 years, $295 million for Jaylen Brown, for a nigga that can't dribble. And, of course, you're still going to have to pay Jason Tatum soon. What do you think that this team should do? I think both of us called out the Missoula shit months ago. We was like, the Missoula thing is definitely going to be a problem come playoff time. Do you think they should break it up? Do you think they should keep it together? Where do the Celtics go from here after these last two seasons?
You gotta get a new head coach. You definitely keep it together. At the end of the day, we're talking about a league that's built on elite wing play, and you have two elite wings. So I think it would be foolish to let him go. And, like, you know, Jason Tatum is 25. Jaylen Brown is what, 26, 24? Yeah. Like, I forgot which one is younger, but I know Jason Tatum is 25.
Tatum is younger.
So Jason is like, Jaylen is probably 26, 27. Either way, you have two elite players. I know they, you know, Jaylen things Brown didn't go is your way.
Only a year older. He's 26.
So, perfect. So, yeah, you know, I know things didn't go your way this year, but no, you get a new coach in there. You know, you can get figure out what you're going to do with Robert Williams. You know, I believe he's a free agent, restricted free agent, or I know he's a free agent. But either way, figure out what you're gonna do with him, and you bring this team back. I mean, I know it's easy for us to shit on him, but it's still a very young ball club. I think you just move some pieces around them and get a new coach, and you run it back.
I'm with you. You know, of course, I criticize these two a lot. Tatum more than Brown. Probably got respect. I expect more from Tatum. I don't hate Jason Tatum. I'm gonna keep telling you, I'm not a Jason Tatum hater. I just feel like he has the tools to be so much better than he is. And I'm actually gonna give a pass for Game 7 because his ankle's fucked up. Jaylen Brown, I don't know what the fuck he was doing in Game 7 last night, but I think you have to run it back. It's gonna be a very expensive run back because you're gonna be spending almost, you know, $600 million between the two players, but. Like you said, they're 25 to 26 years old. I think if anything, what this Denver Nuggets run is proven to you is don't give up on your core. I feel like a lot of teams, not just especially in the NBA, give up on the core way too quickly. And especially for a core that has been relatively successful. They've done everything but win the championship. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals damn near every year. They were in the NBA Finals last year. You just got to hope that you can find you a better coach. They got to get rid of Mazzulla. I don't think they will because I think they gave one of them low-key Reinsdorf extensions. I think that's what happened, but they need a better coach, and you just need to hope that they will grow into the roles and become the player that they want them to be, because unless you plan on rebuilding, there's no point in letting Jaylen Brown walk.
No, absolutely, bro. I think it would be stupid. Like, I know that's the same way we talk about the only reason, you know, even though they have injury concerns, so the Clippers talk about breaking them up makes more sense, but it would be foolish to do that right now when you can just add pieces around them, you know. And even when they do both get those, you know, max deals, you'll still have ways to maneuver around the cap and get veterans in there and young players in there that can balance out that roster.
Yeah, man, I definitely agree with that, man. Let's move on from the Celtics to a team that has actually been the dominant team of the last decade and the guy who put that team together. And we can give Dante credit for his Negro Diamonds prediction on this podcast 2 weeks ago. Bob Myers, the all-time GM with everything he's built over. He did everything but actually draft Steph Curry. Steph Curry was drafted before the current ownership came in. He is stepping down as the general manager of the Golden State Warriors. He basically, to me in the press conference, it sounded like he was tired. He wants to take a break. I don't even think he's going to be taking another NBA job anytime soon. I think he's going to go into other stuff and then maybe come back later with a higher position. But what do you think is the significance of Bob Myers stepping down?
I think it is semi-significant because off the strength of everything they've accomplished there in Golden State. And I know a lot of his moves lately haven't worked, and you know people have been critical of that. The Jordan Poole extension, you know, drafting Wiseman then trading them, you know, they haven't really been able to replace that perfect mix of young players and vets that they had when they were winning championships. You know, especially after the KD left, a lot of people remember the comments he made at the parade about KD.
Yeah, you know. Which basically that and Draymond is pretty much what KD left.
Yeah, so you know, shit like that. So it's you know, overall, you know, four championships, you can't deny, you know, everything that he's accomplished. So you have to give him his props for that. But I think there was talks out of the Bay months ago that he wants a higher role. So like he wants to know, maybe it's like, you know, VP of basketball ops or something like that. But he was basically looking for a larger role. And, you know, the Warriors aren't prepared to give him that. And so I think it's the perfect time for him to step away. I know, as we've seen, the same way he did with Jerry West, I'm sure Steve Ballmer will cut him a check today if, you know, if that's for something he wants to do. Yeah. But I'm with you. I think he may just take a break for a minute, you know, be with his kids, be with his family, and, you know, enjoy life for a second.
Yeah, he brought up in his press conference, he don't want a job. He got to wake up at 3 a.m. to handle shit. Basically, it sounds like a guy, like you said, he just wants to chill. And he's earned that right. When you win 4 NBA championships, you've done everything he's done. Fans can say whatever they want. You know, fans are real. What have you done for me lately? And that's pretty much what comes down to. And it's funny because they won a championship just last season. But I think he's earned it. I think he's definitely the you know probably the best general manager in Warriors history, and I think he's earned the right to be able to chill back. And as far as where the Warriors go next, I wouldn't be worried if I was a Warriors fan. I think they have great ownership. I think they'll find a great replacement if they don't already have one groomed in coming in or something like that. I think that they'll be fine long term. Every time you move on from an executive like that, it can be hit and miss. Sometimes they come in and they can you know make good moves, or they could be like we're watching. Who's my man in Wrigley right now? He's Jed Hoyer coming after Theo. Jed Hoyer's yeah. not doing a good job over there right now. So it could be one of them too. But when you got Steph Curry, I think that's a good starting block right there.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Keep Steph happy should be number one. That's
priority number one. Yeah.
Keep Steph happy and we go from there.
Definitely. We're going to wrap this up with our last topic. The NBA Finals be over. The NBA season going to be over in a couple weeks, at least the actual playing thing. And then we're going to be, you know, getting ready for the offseason, which I think this is going to be one of the craziest offseasons we've ever seen. I think it's going to be a lot of player movement. Like, I think we're going to see a record high of trades because it's not a big free agent class, especially with the new CBA. People starting to move their cap around for when the CBA hits. I think you're going to see a lot of movement, and we're already seeing that so far with the number of coaches who've been fired before the season even ended. Now we've got two hires to talk about. The Milwaukee Bucks, who are the number one seed this year, the NBA champions just 2 years ago, they fired Coach Bud, and they have hired Adrian Griffin, man. Let's talk about that. What do you think about Griff taking over? He's also used to be on the Bulls coaching staff.
Love to see it, man. Love to see him get an opportunity to, you know, become a head coach and to become the head coach at a high-profile job. You know, you got the best, arguably the best player in the league. So, you know, we always talk about guys getting jobs in positions where they pretty much set up to fail. But here we are. He has an opportunity to come in and, you know, potentially win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I like when younger coaches get opportunities, especially coaches who have put in the work like Adrian Griffin has. He was a guy that, you know, I think he got interviewed for the Bulls position before AK chose Billy Donovan. But he's been around for a minute. And I think he's a former player. So I think that helps a lot. Of course, we all know Giannis obviously has something to do with the hiring. They wouldn't have hired him without talking to Giannis. So I like this hiring. And I think it'd be a good move for them. I've always said that Coach Bud was, you know, I could coach that fucking team. Like, that's how I feel about Coach Bud's contributions to that 2021 championship. But I think it's a good hire for them, man. This next hire, I actually really, really love this one. Nick Nurse, born from the Toronto Raptors, and he is now the new head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Of course, we know Doc Rivers was fired a couple weeks ago. I think this also opens up the way for Doc to go to Phoenix, which I got to give credit to Doc about this. I have no problem with a black man who stays with a job. Being mediocre and getting paid for it is the American dream. The American dream that a lot of black people are not able to live. So I 100% support Doc Rivers on that. If I was the Suns wire hire, fuck no. But I applaud him for always staying with a check and staying out of the ESPN booth if and when it is announced that he's going to Phoenix. But Nick Nurse, I think Nick Nurse is going to be great for Philly. Everybody's like, well, we know some comments he had about Embiid. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they'll be able to go over that if it was ever even a real thing anyway. I think it's a good opportunity for them. And whatever the actual chance is of them bringing Harden back, we don't know. We've heard that it's a done deal that he's going to Houston. And honestly, if I'm Houston, I wouldn't want James Harden. Like, the fuck I want James Harden for? We trying to build something young here. But we also heard that he has something to do with Doc being fired. So maybe this opens up room for him to come back. What do you think about Nick Nurse in Philly?
Yeah, I love Nick Nurse in Philly. I know we heard all the D'Antoni rumors when everybody said that Harden was the reason that Doc got fired and whatnot, which, you know, I take that with a grain of salt. It's easy to throw a player under the bus when we don't know what the front office was thinking. But I think he's going to be great for Embiid. I think he's a great coach, a great X's and O's guy. I think, you know, Tyrese Maxey, you know, a lot of the pieces they have, he'll be able to utilize them. So I think that's a good move for Philly. I think Harden going back to Houston – with the young players they have, they hired Udoka already, so you know.
I don't know. They
should be focused on establishing their own identity with the young players they have, but they want to do something else, so it is what it is.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about that one, man. But that's all we got for y'all today. Ball Don't Live, of course, this will be the last pre-recorded episode of the season, at least for the season of the playing season. Because, like I said, we got big news next week. But the Ball Don't Lie NBA Finals post-game shows will be taking place 15 minutes after each game starting this Thursday. We did those last year. We had a good time. We had a couple guests. I'm going to see if I can get a couple people to join us this year. And though if you miss them, the video will be up on the YouTube. The audio will be up on the all podcast feeds. I'll make sure all of those up if you do miss it. But every 15 minutes after each game, starting this Thursday on the Barber's Chair YouTube, Barber's Chair Twitter, the BCNet.com. Look out for those, me and Dante. And then after game four, on the game four post-game show, which is next Friday, we will have a big announcement for you guys regarding Ball Don't Lie going forward for next season. So look out for that. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Scott, at the network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And visit the BCNet.com, man. We'll holler at y'all on Thursday after game one. We out.
Oh, man. Hit it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's blind.